What are we talking about?
Hey, everybody, it's Hanging Out Loud with Rob Marchand and Kyle Gross and John Workman and Nick Basil, and we're going to talk about the top 10 things that will screw up your deer hunt. We had to get going because we weren't going to shut up until we turned this thing on. It's getting nasty in here.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
Seems like it's always like that when Workman comes around.
Yeah.
He's wild, man.
It's always nasty big in butt. Here, bro. It's always nasty in here.
Just don't take the fridge.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's what we're going to talk about. We'll probably go over our top 10, but we're just going to mix it up.
Hell, we probably got more than them.
So this is going to be kind of informational, I guess. Things not to do. I know my number one thing you don't want to do when you go deer hunting is forget your bow.
it's been done before.
So I'll go ahead and tell you what I've done. Me and Jerry's over there, Nick, in one of your all's areas, is years ago. And I always give Jerry a hard time, Jerry Braden. I'm always giving him crap. You know, you always got that one hunting buddy. So, we park on top of the hill. You know, what lake I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know how far that goes back in through there.
Yeah.
And I was way back in through there. And, all excited, you know, seeing big monster rubs back in there. And after about that 40 minute walk, Jerry turns around, looks at me, and says, "Where's your bow at?" Anyways, yeah, 40 minutes.
40 minutes later. You did that wrong?
Yeah, I did that. It tore all the pieces. So I run all the way back, and it's cold. Now I'm sweating and everything else, and the bow is on top of the truck. So anyways, it was one of those days exciting.
You just sit in the car?
No, I got my bow and took off and ran back to my stand, and I was
not this thing.
Froze.
No.
Well, you know, that's when I was your age. So I was pumped up to go.
You're more educated than I am.
There's my number one thing. How about you, Kyle? You had any bad experiences? Go ahead, John. I know you had.
I got all kinds of those. Took my little brother youth hunt weekend. Oh, he was probably 10 or 11. And I took my then brother-in-law. And he was probably 12-ish. We climbed all the way up the top of the hill. And I knew we were going to see deer. Jump deer going up the hill. On the way there, fed my little brother breakfast. And that's probably the worst mistake I ever made. So we get up there and we get settled in. You know, like I said, I seen deer going up a hill. Got up there, probably wasn't there 45 minutes tops. And he looks over at me and he says, "Hey, bub, I need to poop."
Hey, pooping is always a
killer.
That ruins it.
I was mad. You know.
That's probably number one.
And, so I sent him all the way back down to the bottom and made him poop on his own. You know, I wasn't leaving. Well, he gets all the way to the bottom. Of course, he asked me what he was going to use for toilet paper before he went. So I cut off a piece of my orange. You know, here, this is what you're going to
use. Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, and I still have that orange, by the way. That's got
that one side,
and it's like missing half of one side.
Oh, yeah.
And, but anyways, he goes down, does business, comes back up, and it probably wasn't another 30 minutes. And he says, "I got to poop again." By this time, I was fuming, dude. We just left.
Yeah, it's over.
Like, it's over.
Pooping's probably number one.
Yeah.
I would say.
That's why I don't eat breakfast where I go.
No. I mean, how many times have you got your tree stand, though? And, I mean, it's the perfect day. Everything's perfect. And you're fighting that thing. I mean, a big buck comes through. And you're fighting. I mean, you know, it's the truth.
You're trying hard enough not to shit yourself once you see him.
And here's the thing. You hold it so long. Now you've got this perfect place. And we're all scent freaks. You know, we're all crazy about our scent.
Now you're gassing.
Now you're like, well, it ain't that. You don't want to.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
right
yeah. Your best spot.
Well, that happened to me last year. I mean, it was like my best spot where I was chasing this giant. And
you don't want
I had to walk around this bowl. And I finally just propped up on a log, son. And I remember I was wearing a Primo shirt. And I had to ditch that Primo shirt and came out of the woods shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if it happens to me, of course, I don't, you know. And
it's still up there on top
close
of
to where I hunt by no means. I mean. I would shit myself and leave first. I mean, that's just me, but I used to creek. I mean, it's in the water, you know.
John takes a bath in the creek in the early season on the way to the tree.
I mean, if you got to. A creek, you know, that's informational, you all.
Yeah.
You have to go. It's a creek.
It's a creek. Or shit by your buddy's stand.
Okay. How about you, man? Yeah. We're just getting a pile of corn over here. I done that last year. That didn't ruin my hunt, though. That ruined that guy's hunt. He was hunting illegal people before you get mad at me.
Yeah.
Hunting illegal. I was in Ohio on public land. How about you, Nick? I'm sure you've had something.
Yeah, well,
one thing that comes to mind is, years ago, I was big into, it was a lot more into scent control. I wouldn't wear anything in the truck that I was going to wear hunting and get dressed in the truck. I'm not so much like that anymore, but, one day we were all going out and it was me, my brother, and another buddy, and, got to the truck, started getting dressed, started looking around, didn't bring my boots with me. All I have was my tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes.
I've done that. Gosh. I've done it two or three times since, but yeah. I hunt pretty close to the house now. Back then I was living in Huntington and hunting out way out some public land. So it was an hour and 20-30 minute drive. So I just climbed up a tree stand in November with tennis shoes on.
Number three. I did that last year. Yeah. I remember you doing that. You had your tennis shoes.
Yeah, I was wearing a pair of Asics up there.
Oh gosh.
I forget my boots. I'm in trouble, boys.
Yeah.
Cause I wear flip flops. It'd be tough hunting flip flops.
You're turning around, aren't you?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it though until I actually was in the tree stand. I was like, my feet are kind of wet. And then I realized I was wearing a pair of tennis shoes and I forgot to change.
You know, I've been doing this for a long time and so I've had several things run my hunt. You know, now it's all kind of running back. We're talking about it. And, I can remember, being in an awesome spot, and this is when I might have been 16, 17 years old, and it was one of the first time I've seen an Amish guy in the woods. So, old red beard coming through.
That Sasquatch was hitting you.
I was like, whoa, what's this? So that blew one up. I had a big old buck, at that time. Yeah. 520 buck. He's a monster buck to me, and yeah. Then he went that way, and here come Amish guy, you know. He's seen him, and he's going to chase him down, I guess.
Out of everything that we've talked about, even before this started, people probably ruin your hunt faster.
People, and that's what I was getting to. People ruin your hunt faster than anything.
The guy that pops down on a tree with this kid 50 yards away from your tree stand, you got to grunt at him to let you know it wasn't there.
And it's one thing when you're on public land or something because it is, you know, you're on public land, but when you're on private land, someone's trespassing on you, and which, you know, I'm not saying the Amish guy was, it's just, but that's what sucks to me. That aggravates me.
I was on public land 3 years ago. And I mean, tucked in nice and tight and had a squirrel hunter lean up against my tree and he didn't know I was there.
I've had that.
squirrel hunters come by your stand and look up in the tree and be like, you been seeing anything?
Yeah.
I mean, just full voice. There's nothing worse for me than, talking to somebody in full voice in the woods. It just doesn't seem natural.
I've had that happen right over there. They had their dog. I guess they was using their dog squirrel hunting. The dog come and just laid underneath the tree and they come right up there. He's like, you see anything out here, buddy?
Yeah.
Not now.
About 10 minutes ago.
Have you seen the videos going around? I've just seen it the last couple of days of a lady leaned up against a tree hollering and cussing a guy. He's up in a tree stand.
Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to see that one. It's a good one.
Was she an anti-hunter?
Oh, big time, yeah. Yeah, she's cussing him up and down. And he says, lady, I'm on the phone with I'm calling the game warden, you know, right now. And she just keeps cussing him because she thinks she's in the right and he's in the wrong.
Yeah.
Well, she says she has just enough a right to be there than he does. But, I mean, it was... I don't know the backstory of it.
That's harassment, right?
Oh, yes, hunter harassment. That's what he keeps telling her, and she says she has the same rights that he does. And
we have hunter harassment.
You know, that reminds me of a story. Back a game warden was telling me this, and it was up in Ohio. It was on the up northern Ohio. And anyways, a bunch of anti hunters was aggravating the guy, much like him. Well, he just keeps going on back deeper and deeper, and they follow him, and they're screaming and yelling and doing all their thing. And finally, it gets dark, and he pitches a tent. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm staying the night. What are you all doing? And he walked them in circles. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And they followed him, and he pitched that tent right there, and they was lost.
I was listening.
And had to get him to help them back out, you know, the next day after they froze their butts off.
I was listening to one podcast. It's an Out West. They talk about hunting. It's called Firecast. That's what it was on. And, I listened to it and they had a hunter they had a guy that was going around harassing hunters. He was carrying a boom box through the mountains, just harassing them, I guess, up and down the main paths. And the game warden had stopped the guy and told him, you know, hey, we have a guy harassing hunters here. He said, if you happen to see him, just let us know. You know, we can't catch up with him. So the guy, he's out there hunting. Lo and behold, here comes this guy with a boom box blaring it, you know, and the guy, nobody, you know, he hadn't seen the guy. The hunter, the guy with the boombox hadn't seen the hunter yet. So here comes the guy with the boombox up and down through there, walking back and forth. And that guy loaded up a judo point. Said he shot the guy in the chest with a judo point.
Really?
The guy with the boombox.
Yeah.
He said, I think the statute of limitations is over now. He said, but I didn't hear anything about the guy with the boombox anymore.
Yeah.
He said he crumbled. He said, I made sure he's alive. He said, I smashed his boombox and got out of there.
That definitely Change his attitude, wouldn't
it? I guarantee it.
Whew. Well, anyways, there's always something screwing up.
Oh, yeah.
There's always
the
something.
The one shooting when you don't clear out.
That
got me a few times.
Not cutting that limb, you know.
Yep.
When you're hanging your tree stand and, or, I mean, I've done that several times. Oh, and yeah. Even look at that limb and think,
maybe I should cut it.
I should probably cut that. And then you're already hot.
I don't want to cut too much.
Yeah, I don't want to cut too much. Make an excuse or something.
Yeah.
That'll definitely screw your hunt up.
Yeah. I forgot my bolt to my rifle once.
Yeah, you was.
Yeah. Telling yeah, I was gun hunting. I was probably close to 20 years ago now, and I was 45 minute tire drive. You know, I got out of the truck, headed down the road. I got ready to load my rifle. And, oh shit! I don't have no bolt. I mean. Obviously, there was no, I still hunted just because I enjoyed being in the woods. I sat there, but obviously there was no need me being in the woods. I had to throw the ammo at it, I guess.
Yeah. But
that was a pretty bad one for me.
Well, I had two, and I told Kyle this, and I may have told you, Nick, but someone I was with 20 years ago, she shot archery with me, and I bought us both the same bow cases. And, of course, I took off hunting. And took her bow, and I'm all the way up in Ohio. Once again, it's a rut. Now, this is no joke. I tell you this, Carl. And I get there, and I'm pumped. You know, I know the big bucks are running, yeah. And here's that bow. Golly, you know, I'm an hour and a half away from home, and I'm going to hunt. So I'm in front of the headlights, and I'm shooting that little thing in. I don't know what the draw was. It was just like shooting, like it'd be like Cupid shooting that little tiny bow. It had them little pink arrows. But it was, I'm 42 pounds or something, like 45, whatever. I knew I could kill a deer with that. I mean, Ted Nugent shoots them all the time. But you know, you guys shoot archery a lot. You know how bad this is. But now, at the time, I shoot an ASA and IBO a lot. So I kind of, so I said, man, I set this in for 20 yards. I'll be able to do it. But I'm still shooting probably 25-inch draw length or something, you know. So finally I get it sighted in, and I know I'm going to see that buck. Now, I didn't have cameras at that time, but I've seen this big buck. And sure enough, I mean, I see him probably 150 yards away, and I know he's going to come. And he just everything I ever dreamed of him doing, he did it. And stops right there, 20 yards. Pink! And I shot that deer, and I hit him good in the lungs, but it never penetrated the other side, you know.
Yeah.
Them big Ohio bucks up north, I mean, them are some big old deer.
Yeah. You
know? And I know I killed that deer. I mean, I hate to say it, but I just never found that deer. No blood trail. And maybe I made a mistake by doing that and shouldn't have done that. But it was a lesson learned is when I was, you know, pretty young.
You got your bow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so y'all can blast me for screwing that deer up 25 years ago. But
I've done my share.
You know, people shoot deer with, you know, my son killed that deer right there. And I think he was pulling 45 pounds.
Oh, yeah, that's possible.
But it didn't work out for me. Yeah. I just didn't recover it. No blood trail, you know. Anyways.
I think one thing that I'm running up to before you ever even step foot in the woods is just not having the confidence in your equipment. Just making sure that everything is lined up, and you know when you step foot in the woods that whatever happens, it gives you a shot and you're gonna kill them.
It's just like anything, you know, practicing basketball, these kids and stuff like that. The ones that are prepared can step up there on the free throw line. That's just
that's right.
Muscle memory, really, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah.
And you can't shoot your bow enough or your gun, I don't think.
No, you can't.
Well, that was 13 minutes. We got another 40 minutes in.
I think another one of the things that I've ran into a lot over the years, and it's not necessarily something we do to mess the hunt up, is a thief. That'll mess your hunt up quicker than anything.
You
hike into your stand and you get there and you might have your pull rope still tied to that limb. That's it.
And that makes me sick. You know, taking your stand or something like that. It's just bull crap. You know, we stayed in a cabin up in Ohio where I hunt. And all we had in the cabin at that time before we started getting ready for deer season was some toilet paper. And you know, they broke in that cabin and took the toilet paper. I mean, no, you know, it wasn't a big deal. We could replace the toilet paper.
That's bad. You'd have to cut your vest off.
You know, they worked their tails off and they was going to get something. No, I mean, they got in there and I'm sure they fucked up and they was like,
I hope it's cheap though.
No, it was Charmin.
That'll hurt you there, won't
I was thinking, oh, why would you take the toilet paper?
Hell, it might have been hurting. They might have been having like...
Well, they only needed one roll.
I tell you, we're talking about top 10 things that hurt you, hon, I guess. This is my biggest one as a poacher.
Yeah,
can work your, you can work your butt off all summer long, and you can find that one deer, and you can study him, and you can do everything right. And then 2 days before season comes in, somebody decides to shoot him.
I mean, why?
Yeah, that's, I mean...
Well, that's happened to you, right?
Well, they shot my deer last year. They survived. Didn't kill him. I got lucky.
Yeah.
But they did shoot him with a small caliber rifle, and he survived it. But, I mean, you know, that's just a break. I mean, we put a lot of work and effort and try and do everything right. Somebody rolls the window down and shoots one in the dark.
Yeah. Well, I think the people that don't do it the right way, that's the hard ones, though. I don't think anybody cares enough about hunting to listen to a podcast. It's gonna be the guys that are poaching. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody
listens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People have absolutely no respect for hunting
for the animal.
For the animal,
they don't have no respect for the animal.
I think that's
at all.
One of the biggest things too. Is that, you know, the things we've mentioned that they can ruin. You can ruin your season, yeah. Not just one hunt. They'll ruin your whole season.
You know, Nick, we were talking earlier. I think over here, and John probably knows. You know, back in the 90s and 80s. Poaching, in my opinion, was way worse.
Oh yeah, it is.
Than it is now here. Yeah. But now I still hear bad reports over
where. Now where I'm hunting at, and I mean, it's, you know,
the biggest problem that I've gathered in the last 20 years is, I mean, there's so many people flooding southern Ohio to deer hunt, and that's, I mean, your poachers flood them areas too. What was that about? I don't know, 6 years ago or so, that guy got caught, killed that big monster out in Adams County. And,
he took it
to the deer expo.
He killed it in Kentucky, right?
Yeah, he said he was. He said he did, but he poached it in Adams County.
Somebody had it on camera.
I drive through that area where he shot that deer. To go to where I hunt. And, that's what he done. So our season comes in about 3 weeks before Ohio's. So what he's done is he shot that deer before their seasons come in.
Yeah.
And then he brought it over here and tagged it in because our season was in.
Yeah.
I read the article.
You see what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yeah, that is what happened. Yeah.
I read the article about that North American whitetail. And, the two guys that's land it was on, they knew it was a world class type deer.
Yeah.
And they actually had the game warden, the county game warden down there to their farm to see this deer alive. That way, when they killed it, if they could kill it, he had, you know, he could say this was legit. You know, this was 100% legit. And, the guys were at that hunting and fishing expo and, saw that deer on the wall, and they went and got the same game warden that they had at their farm.
Yeah.
And he went up and asked the guy, and that guy was a 5-time convicted poacher.
Five, I mean, how in the world could you be 5-time?
Yeah.
Well, now they'll get a license. Now if you're a poacher, there might be maybe one or two states you can. Once you're banned in one state now, I can't remember what it is, what it's called.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, what does it do any good to ban somebody?
Well,
obviously, they don't care. They just go out and roam around in the dark.
And how'd that guy get permission? I mean, I guess he must have permission.
He just shot at night from the road.
Yeah. Okay, so he did shoot at night.
Yeah.
I was thinking he went over and
hunted.
Well, yeah, if you're going to do that.
They're just going to shoot it.
They're just going to shoot it anyway. So he did poach it.
Mm-hmm. I know that a buddy of mine that I used to hunt with a lot, I mean, he does everything right. I mean, he's a good guy. But he had family in Adams County, and during gun season, they'd go up there and do drives, and they'd shoot everything that moved.
Well,
they didn't care. They didn't care what it was. They drove it, shot it. If it was, I mean, it had to be 150, 60-inch deer, they're not bringing it out of the woods.
I can tell you, I grew up in Adams County and on a farm out there, and it used to be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, bad. Now, I don't think it's so bad now, but there's some more. You know, when I grew up there on that dirt road, the only person you'd see was the mailman. Or at night time, it'd be poachers.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it. But the game warden, we kind of live on the hill right there. And the game warden would come up there and stay so he could watch for the lights. Because it's just in rolling hills there.
Yeah.
And what the game warden would do is, if they seen somebody, they would flash their spotlight up in there back then. Another one would. And then they would trap them guys, man. Yeah, they'd bust them all the time.
I know a buddy of mine, he's his farm gets poached pretty hard.
Still, yeah.
Right now, here in Lawrence County, and I won't say who it is.
I was sweating. I was thinking he's gonna say
it's Lawrence County, and he's already talking to the game warden this year, and he's gonna be setting up the robo deer in his field and he's got a barn and stuff he can park in so he can catch anybody that's coming through. But his fields get hit hard. I mean, yeah. pretty hard, and he's just now starting to really get into hunting and stuff, so he's wanting to put a crackdown on it. So he's going to set up, he's already talked to him, and they've already got a time set aside and everything where he's going to bring it out.
They've made it easier on poachers. I mean, you know, those night vision scopes and thermal imaging stuff, and which I mean, you know, most of your poachers aren't going to spend $3,000 on a thermal scope.
No, they don't care. Shoot, I've seen a friend of mine, he's got a big farm over in Ohio, and he finds crossbow bolts in his field where people drive around and shoot crossbows at him.
Yeah.
And it's silent, and, you know, if they hit it, they come back and get it later.
I was at a bow shop. I was at a bow shop, and a guy came in and was just talking about doing that. I wasn't another bow shop you guys hang out. And of course, you know, there's a bunch of us hunters in there, and we start, I mean, he acted like it wasn't no big deal. I am not kidding you. That guy came in, and he was, you know.
Okay with it. Like it was normal.
Like everybody does it.
He was just like a, which.
I mean, and you know, the sad part is, as hunters, other than maybe Kyle, you know, all of us have had a chance with a rifle coming out of the woods, you know, especially me, because I food bought. But, you know, you're riding out of the farm from hunting. You know, your headlights hit begging out there in that field. I could stop shooting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, anybody. And yeah, that's places
what,
I hunt.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If I want to go up on the hill.
What's the fun? But, I mean, you
listen,
know.
We're in it for more, way more than the kill. And I want to mention something else, you know, since we're talking about all this, is people calling certain people poachers that kill big bucks. Now I want people to understand this. These guys, and I'm not going to say any names, we all know who kills a lot of big bucks around here. But most of these guys got relationships with these bucks 3 or 4 years. And believe me, they would kill them the first year they had a relationship with them.
Yep.
So trust me, if they wanted to poach those big bucks, they could have killed them 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't want to hear that crap. Yeah. I mean,
and we've all been called it. I mean, you know,
if you kill a big buck, people can't understand it. If there's a lot of work in consistently killing a good buck, you know, not a monster buck, a good buck.
Well, I tell her, you know, I think, when you do everything right, and you're sitting in that stand, and you finally have that big buck you've been after, you've been seeing him on camera, hundreds of, you know, thousands of pictures, and you finally see him coming in, and you know everything's getting right, everything's coming together the way it's supposed to. That's why, I mean, it's like no other feeling, because it's like a sense of accomplishment that I don't know, I've never had it in anything else I've done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know how to
work out like that.
If you're not a hunter, you don't get it.
And then when you kill that buck after all that work, that emotion, grabbing that and taking pictures and sharing that moment with your friends and on Facebook, that's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
That's not being bragging. You're excited and you want to show what you did, all the hard work and the good times with your buddies, stuff like that.
I've always said when you finally do see that big buck, it's like seeing a unicorn.
Yeah.
Cause it's like almost like it's not real. Like this ain't really happening.
Yeah.
Like it's fine. That's really him. You know? Yeah.
That's what
you pray and you wish it would happen, but the likelihood of it happening is so slim to none.
Well, that
feeling does happen. It's unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, that feeling right there is what we're after, really.
Oh, really? Yeah. And then when it's over, you're like, man, I've been hunting for 3 years to feel that 30 seconds or that 1 minute
right there.
There's nothing else like it.
I mean, John, what got you hooked on hunting?
My dad. My dad took me in the woods first time I was two.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, back then we squirrel hunt, you know, and. Well, obviously I didn't hunt, you know, I was two. He carried me through the woods and, you know, he took me every year religiously. We squirrel hunted back then. Bob, you and I are close to the same age. I don't think we were allowed to start hunting until we were like, well, you grew up in Adams County. Anyways, I can tell you, we weren't allowed to start hunting until we were like 11 or something, 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And,
I think that's right.
And I went my first year, honestly, back then, where my family originated from in Lawrence County, Kentucky, we could hunt 15 miles of land. You know, it didn't matter. They wasn't fences. You didn't care who you stepped on. You know, anyways, we hunted. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. We had a 30-30, lever action Marlin 30-30, and I never shot it. You know, we didn't practice, you know, back then, but it was tied in, obviously. Dad hunted with it. And, we were sitting there and, bunch of shots to our right, and I Ned nudged Dad, and I said, here comes one, and a buck come in, and I can't tell you how big it was. I was 10, 11 years old, whatever it may have been, but I can tell you that my dad has never killed a deer that big, and he let me shoot.
Yeah.
And I missed.
And now
and he blew in that shell for a year. Every time it like a whistle, he'd just blow in it. But from that moment on, boys, I was hooked.
How about you, Nick?
My dad, he was a big hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was, he definitely got us into, I mean, he was hunting out west for elk before it was, you know, before everybody was doing it, killing them with a bow. And I mean, he killed a lot of good deer, here in Ohio, with a bow. But my grandpa probably was the first one to ever take us hunting though. Mm-hmm. And he gun hunted. He didn't really bow hunt at all. But I can remember it being summertime. We'd beg him, take us hunting. You know, we didn't know any better. We didn't know when season was. And we'd walk around the woods with his shotgun. He'd leave it over his shoulder, not a bullet in it. We'd be squirrel hunting, but we'd probably just out walking around, you know.
Yeah.
I don't remember him ever shooting anything besides pop cans or bottles or whatever we come across. But, my dad passed away when I was 14, so, I actually hadn't even killed a deer until I think the year that he passed away, I killed my first deer. I killed him on the ground with a bow. And, it was a buck had a doe bedded down. It was like November 4th or 5th, and I was coming out of the woods, and I had a shot at the doe, and I didn't have a shot. It was just a little basket rack buck, and I just smoked the doe. I was happy just to, wow. I mean, I had a perfect shot. She stood up and looked at me, and I said, I ain't passing this shot up. And I mean, I lived right there in this town, so we only have one little piece of woods. We done. I don't know who even owned it or nothing. Nobody cared.
And I'm sure that memory right there is as big as any memory you have. Monster bucks.
I can tell you exactly. I mean, I know exactly what happened, you know. I couldn't wait to go find my brother because he was hunting too, and, you know, we were meeting up.
Yeah.
And he was so excited because he'd found a shed. He was excited to tell me about his shot. He'd found a shed, and I was like, I killed a deer. You know, I was like, we couldn't believe it. Like, I shot one, you know. I found my arrow. It was broken half. I said, I don't know if I shot good or not.
What?
And, I mean, it was big old, it was a Jennings Carbon XLRS bow. I mean, and it was old when I killed a deer with it, shooting big aluminum logs, you know. And I couldn't find anybody. I didn't even think to look for blood. I mean, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to go find my brother so we could experience this together, you know. So I went and found him. We went back and I was like, no, it was right here. I was like, it was stood up right here. I'm like, I know it was. We started looking around and there was blood everywhere. And I was like, I didn't even think to look before. And we started down through there and like 30 yards later, there she was laying, you know. I'd heart shot her somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how, but I'd heart shot her.
That's what it's all about right
there. Yeah. We lived with my aunt and uncle. We called them to let them know we was coming home late because, you know, they'd be worried about us if we weren't. They said, well, you know, why are you coming home late for? I said, shot a deer. And they said, there's no way you shot a deer. They thought we were just going back in there just, you know, playing hunting, I guess. I don't know. But that was my first deer I ever killed.
And that excitement right there, you know, back in, you know, you talk about you, John, and there's a lot of unknown and there's a lot of magic right there because of the things you didn't know.
Oh,
you know, we kind of know what's going on now. We challenge ourselves now trying to shoot a little bit bigger bucks. But back in, there's just so much unknown. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of magic, just like we was just kids.
Me and my brother, we're 11 months apart, 14 and 15. Mm-hmm. No, we were younger now. We're probably 13 or 14. And I mean, from then on, we pretty much hunted by ourselves and learned as we went, you know. You got a lot of steep learning curves when you're trying to teach yourself how to bow hunt and you know, a lot of reading, a lot of trial and error.
You never quit learning.
No, I still think to this day, you know, you think back, I've been bow hunting for close to, well, probably 17 years now, something like that. I think 17 years ago, some of the setups I made, like, that's so dumb. But I can look back 3 years ago and think the same thing, and 2 years ago, what am I thinking? Why was I doing that?
I'll think back on my early season hunt this year and what I'd done the first two or three days. You know, as long as I've done, I'm thinking, well, that was stupid. That about cost me. You know?
Yeah. Well, Kyle, happened to me this year.
I mean, so you, like you're saying, you learn.
Oh, you do.
If you don't keep an open mind, then you're not going
to
be better.
To me, the only way to learn how to be a better hunter is by failure.
Yeah.
I mean, it really
that's
is.
That's the only way to learn how to
anything. On anything. It's failure. You know, if I'd have done everything I was told as I was coming up, I would probably have a little bit more of what I have now. But you got to learn the hard way, you know.
My little brother, he bow hunted with me 2 years ago. I got him a bow and he started bow hunting with me. And I probably hunted for 3 or 4 years before I ever killed my first deer. Well, he hunted with me. He gun hunted sporadically when he was younger. And then, like I said, I got him a bow. And, I mean, I know pretty much where you can go any sit and kill a doe, a doe or a small buck, something.
Nowadays.
So I put him in, I feel like I helped him out a little too much because he killed, his first sit he killed a doe, second sit he killed a doe, and his third sit he killed a buck. And so he killed 3 deer in his first 3 sits with a bow.
Yeah.
And now he's like, I don't really think I want to go.
He's
you know, yeah, I'm like, yeah. Man, you know, but
did him wrong.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, maybe I should have let him fail a few times before I hand-pat him.
I know what you mean. I mean, I've done it with my kids. They see me all the time, the boys, and I take them out. When I take them out, they're seeing something because I haven't prepared, like, say, so
yeah.
But they're going to have to do it on their own. Kyle, you started a little different. And I know we mentioned on a podcast before, but
well, for me, it's kind of like what Nick was saying, just kind of by myself from the get-go, but I had a neighbor, like I spent every day out in the woods, just roaming around, hiking around. I was just always outside. Didn't have gaming systems or anything like that. And, I had a neighbor that went to Ohio and he came back home with a 9-point. He'd always shot does and, you know, he'd never killed a buck. He could never go out in the woods and see a buck. Well, he finally kills this duck in Ohio, like probably 110, 115 inch deer. And he comes back home and he's like, dude, you're not going to believe this. And he tells me the story. And he's just like, I shot him one time and I hit him in the butt. And he was like shooting a slug. And this kid's like young. Like, yeah. If you all have ever seen, the thing on Facebook where the kid's like, talking about chili and drinking some Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, that kid's a spot on version of this kid.
Yeah.
So he's like, my God, man, I shot him right in the butt. This and that. And, he says,
he's about a year.
He said he shoots him and he takes off running after him. He puts 3 slugs in the thing and finally gets up to him. And, he was like, man, I think you'd like it. So then I got my hunter education card. And, that first year, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But I shot a doe, kind of like what Nick was saying, a piece of woods by my house that I could go into. I hit her right in the shoulder and found her the next day and she was still running and didn't even hurt her. And, so then, that next year, there was I hung my first tree stand, and I missed a doe. And his mom, I used to just go kind of, not often, but I'd go every now and then. And every morning whenever I'd go, if I'd see one, I'd call my buddy, like, early, and I'd be like, man, I just saw one of this and that. And his mom would always call and say that I was calling about deer. But I didn't really get into it, really, like, seriously, and really decided that I wanted to start learning more about it until I was, like, 18. And Adam Hayes, honestly, is kind of the one that got me into it.
That's a moon guy, right?
Yeah, I watched all of his shows, man, and I learned more from that dude and people that he associated himself with and how to do things. And I just wanted to do things exactly like him. From the start of me hunting, I wanted to be just like Adam Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was just kind of gave myself no option. I didn't really go through that phase of shooting the spike and shooting the 6-point and shooting, from the get-go, I wanted to shoot 140 inch deer.
See, and Adam,
and that's hard to do.
Yeah.
But I,
well, and you're that way now. You've only been hunting for 6 years. You killed 2 Pope and Young.
I couldn't imagine being that late.
Caliber buck. But that's who he was around.
If it was a squirrel in front of me in my boat and I hadn't seen a deer for a while, he was in danger. Yeah. When I first started hunting.
I think it was just like I wanted to, well, realistically, it was kind of because, like, on the show that he had, you could submit your hunts.
Yeah.
And I knew that I would never get my videos submitted to those hunts unless I kill a good one. And so that's kind of why I wanted to do it. But, like, Andre DeCuesta, started Lone Wolf. I listened to a podcast the other day with his son Cody, and he was kind of talking about that. He skipped the whole thing because he wanted to kill something that was worthy to put on the wall. I mean, he said that they had 140 inch deer just sitting out in the garage. If it was 170 or better, they didn't put it on the wall.
Well, this is coming from the same kid that's 25 when he killed a 180, 170,
160. Yeah. In the same year.
Killed 3 booners in 1 year.
and John, I'll tell you, back when we started coming up, 140 might as well have been a 200 inch
deer. Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
And 140 me still, I'm still putting 140 inch deer on the wall. But it's not so uncommon. It's, kill 140 inch
deer. Yeah, my first deer was a button buck, right?
But, Kyle, he comes up at a time where.
And, honestly, I kind of wish I'd have done it the other way. Just to kind of experience it all. Yeah. I shot a buck last year that's the smallest deer I've ever killed. But it was like I'd taken steps forward and then I shoot that deer a little smaller. I kind of took a step back.
But you was excited. That's why you shot it. And
I was excited, but then when I got, and I hate to sound this way, it's just the honest to God's truth. When I got up to it, it wasn't what I thought it was. And honestly, like my buddy Travis was like, man, it kind of looked like a kid at Christmas that thought he was getting the Xbox One. You got a Nintendo 64. And it's not all about score, but those are just the goals I set for myself. So whenever I knew that it wasn't up to standard for me as far as reaching my goals, then that's what I was disappointed in. But still, you know,
I was excited
when the hunt was going on and everything and got my heart going, so I shot the deer.
I'm a firm believer in when you first start hunting, you need to stack some deer up. You know what I mean? It's just
enjoy it.
And I'm not, absolutely, and just have a blast with it. Don't put pressure on yourself to kill. I mean, if you want to do that, fine, but don't be ashamed by killing 5, 6, 7 does and a couple small bugs.
See, I wish I would have done that. Starting out, I missed a lot of deer that were big deer because I hadn't had that experience of having deer underneath me or shooting does, that kind of thing. I just wanted to kill a big deer.
You come up totally different. We all come up at a different time, and things were a lot different. You come up, when you start to get into it, like you said, you was watching Adam Hayes, and that's who you wanted to be like. Adam Hayes, he's not even on the big platforms like the Outdoor Channel and stuff like all those channels, right?
No, not anymore. He was.
That's what I'm saying. Those are the type of guys we need to have on these big platforms instead of the bullcrap hooting and hollering and stuff, because there might be a lot more people like Kyle watching these shows. Had Kyle not watched Adam, or if you just watch an Outdoor Channel, these guys just a bunch of salesmen, you're smart enough to see, man, they're just trying to sell me a bunch of crap. I don't want to be a part of this, because you didn't have a dad or a grandfather.
I mean, I actually learned what it took through those shows to find a big deer and to kill a big
deer. That's what I'm saying. If you hadn't seen
there's not many shows out there now that are like that.
Not on the big platform.
That's what aggravates me about the industry. We've talked about it before. Is these guys, and I'm not going to name any of them, but, you know, they think they're celebrities. I mean, and potentially they are, because a lot of hunters have made them that way, but they're no different men.
Listen, they're going to outfitters, and I'm not knocking outfitters, because there's a lot of people who don't have the time to scout like we do.
Yeah.
And whatever reason they're out there. There's no problem with that. But what I'm saying is they are just showing up, shooting a deer, and waving products in front of it.
Yeah.
And people see through that. I mean, you look on social media, it's just not me saying that. I'm not bitter or jealous. I kill as big a deer as they do. Without doing that.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. It's not nothing about that. It's just they're not representing the outdoors for someone like Kyle. That may have swayed Kyle. He may not even be hunting right now.
Yeah.
Had he been watching those shows instead of Adam Hayes. Cause there are good shows out there, but
Well, you go to an ATA show or something like that. I mean, like, some of literally the best hunters that kill the biggest deer are sitting in a corner and people walk right by and they'll walk up to, I don't know, let's just say.
Yeah, one of the personalities.
A personality. And like, they're like fanboys about them.
Yeah.
Because it's who they are, but like, you're walking past somebody who's a Warren Buffett of deer hunting, and going to, you know what I mean, just somebody else that
flashes that pretty on TV.
I've told you this story before. Me and Ricky were up at the Ohio Deer and Turkey Expo. We're walking through there, and I mean, there's a line all the way around the building to see Lee and Tiffany. Adam Hayes is sitting over there with 3 200-inch deer on the wall, and just, I mean, sitting there with his moon guide, and nobody over there, nobody talking to him.
Yeah.
And that guy knows big deer.
He knows how to
hunt. If you want to know how to kill big deer, I mean, I've known about Adam Hayes for years. I mean, if you follow big deer, especially in Ohio, you know who the guy is.
But not everyone does. They just see those people on the Outdoor Channel or those big
two more guys that are kind of like that too, that don't do like shows or anything. They're Scott Esker and what's his brother's name, Steve?
Yeah, I believe so.
Dude, I mean, those guys, like, their 10 biggest deer are on average are, out of their 10 biggest deer, the average score is like 194 and so many eights, and the other brother's 195. And so
They hunt all around Columbus, basically the same place.
Yeah, I mean,
Adam Hayes hunts.
And they hunt
all around Franklin County, though. I mean,
I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you spend, but if you put more than 1 200-inch deer on the ground,
you know what the hell you're doing.
You know what's up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care.
I guarantee
if
it.
You know.
And those are top guys we need on the big platform.
Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to point out. You know, like, I mean, I don't know Adam Hayes. I don't know. But, you know, okay, just for instance, you know me. You know, I killed 150-inch deer this year. I could have sent a picture of it to certain ones of them, and they would have never even responded. Who cares, you know? Because their ego is bigger than what they think they are. But, you know, you send it to some, like Kyle said, you know, he learned from Adam Hayes because Adam Hayes interacted with him.
Yeah.
He didn't think his ego was that big to, you know, hey, I don't care what you do.
He's representing outdoors.
And that's, you know, that's,
I love hunting.
Yeah.
And that's why even, you know,
It's not a little thing score either, like how I'm talking. It's about the goals you set for yourself.
It's the goals you set for yourself.
I just knew from the get-go that I wanted to kill. I wanted to give myself opportunities.
Well, you have it.
And I figured no better way to learn than by somebody who's doing it.
You have a buck tag to fill, whether it's a six-pointer or a 200-inch buck. They both eat the same. Yep. So there's more meat, actually, if you're going to say, well, you should hunt for the meat. There's actually more meat on a big deer.
That's right. That's what my argument is.
I mean,
to me, I need everything but the horns.
To me, when I hear that, I'm like, well, that deer weighed about 100 pounds more than the one I passed up.
Yeah, you could pull three more bags out of that.
Buddy. I mean, honestly, to me, though, if I wanted to go out and kill a Bass-Crack 8-point or 6-point, I'd be done hunting first day of the season.
Yeah,
I don't wait the entire year to hunt one day.
Yeah.
I mean, I will if
there's nothing wrong with people
right here. If it's the right deer and everything's working out fine, and I kill that big duck on the first day, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be real bored the rest of the year.
It's the chase and the challenge.
Yeah, that's the only reason I do.
It's hunting.
You set standards to push yourself. I mean, this is what we do.
Yeah.
You know, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is our hobby, you know. So some people go golfing and their goal might be to hit a hole in one before they die.
Yeah.
Well, mine's kill 200-inch deer before I die. You know, that's my standard. That's where I'd like to be before I die.
You know, numbers are, everything's numbers.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the basketball team, the winning basketball team, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. But if you're the one scoring 40 points a game, yeah, it's a team sport. But trust me, he's having a lot more fun than you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you're the defensive player.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the truth. And it's just
well, it's the ultimate challenge.
That's right.
I think that's the thing that keeps us pushing ourselves and setting our goals higher and higher. It's just because you like that challenge and you want that challenge.
I think that's what people don't understand about what we do.
That's the accomplishment.
I mean, honestly, that's what
talking about.
That's what people don't understand about trophy hunters. I mean, you know, we're not. I mean, don't get me wrong. The trophy is nice. But,
oh yeah.
I mean, it's not.
It's that feeling, that accomplishment.
It's the challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, like Nick said, I mean, I can go out and kill a deer anytime I want. But
if I want to kill stuff, I'd go work in a butcher shop, you know,
or a
slaughter shop. You know, I don't want to go kill stuff. I want to hunt.
We're hunters. We're not killers.
That's right.
Perfect example, like John's deer. I mean, me and him, we feel the exact same way about this. But, well, John, you talk about it, what we were talking about in your interview with your deer, just after it's all over.
Yeah.
You have so much respect for those animals.
It breaks my heart.
I mean, to be honest with you, yeah, I mean, it's a sense of sadness and happiness. It's something you can't explain, you know, until you do it. But, I mean, killing them is like not even, I mean, yeah, you have to kill them to accomplish that, but it's like the least enjoyable part of it to me.
I was listening to a podcast the other day and a guy said, you know, the only thing that would make hunting better is when you kill that big buck. You walk down there to him and you push the reset button and just take him, send him upon his way.
Yeah.
Just go do it again, you know.
Yeah, that would be.
that's right.
I mean, that's exactly right. That sums it up better than I heard.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But the conservation part, that's another reason we do it.
Oh, it is.
And that's why we have to,
I mean,
to take them numbers.
What was it? 2 months ago now, Kyle? My wife hit a doe in Westwood. I mean, you know.
Well, I guarantee you there's bugs in the backyard.
You know, because I'm going to knock his table over.
It don't work, though.
But they're
but you're exactly
they're
right.
Everywhere. I mean, they are flooded everywhere. And if us hunters, and that's why they're still full, because hunting numbers have went.
But I mean, I kind of get tired of people saying we're conservationists. Yeah, we are. But I hunt because I love them.
Yeah.
I love to hunt.
Yeah, I don't
hunt because I'm starving to death. I don't hunt because I want to give
challenge.
Donate money to. Yeah. To deer, I don't do it. I hunt because I love to hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, there's no way of sugarcoating that. And if they told me that, you know, if I had to pay $500 a year for my tag, or if I had to pay $1,000, whatever, I've done it before.
Conservation.
I'm hunting, you know.
You're exactly right. Conservation is so important. We know that.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't wake up to say, I gotta go hunting. For conservation.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like people are beating that horse to death right now. Yeah. The conservation thing and 2%, 1%.
Because
we're
fighting against anti-animals.
I get tired of telling people that I'm a hunter.
You don't need to explain.
Yeah, I'm not. I
agree.
Go out there and do it one time and tell me you won't go again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's it right there.
And when I bring up the conservation, what's important to me about it is I just knew where it was before we had the conservation.
Oh, yeah.
Without the money and numbers, and John knows where it was.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't wake up saying I'm going hunting because
it's
of conservation.
It's definitely a mechanism. I mean, it's something we can definitely use. Yeah. You know, against the antis and you know, and I mean the proof's in the pudding.
But like
I
said, we do it because we love it.
We do it.
You know, we started on all this. We was talking about what got us into hunting, and I was, you know, on social media. I don't know if you guys follow Austin Jones. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
His dad, Jason Jones, and I've seen. Jason, I can't say word for word what he said, but I've seen a post. And
Austin's the one disabled, right?
Yeah, he's disabled. He's in one of them track chairs. Like, we're going to talk to Scott Phillips from Outdoor Ability Foundation tomorrow. They raised money for the track chairs. They didn't raise money for Austin's, but I'm just saying the same type of track chair they raised money for. But, you know, Jason, and I don't know him, other than chatting with him a little bit on social media, but he put a post on, you know, why am I a hunter? You know, he was thinking about, why am I a hunter? You know, because they get the anti-hunter crap and stuff, and he was just like, why am I a hunter? And he said, I'm thinking back a while, I'm a hunter, and he's like, you know, it was the first time I was noticed. He was talking about his dad, I guess, had run off or whatever, and something about his stepdad and introduced him. I can't say exactly what it was, but he's just like, you know, that was the first time anybody paid any attention to me, took me to the woods, and I fell in love with it. You know what I mean? And I thought it was pretty good.
Well, I think that's one thing too.
There's just different reasons for everybody.
I think if you take a kid or take somebody who's never been involved in or introduced to it, I mean, it can change their life as far as, I mean, dude, I'll tell you what, hunting got me on straight and narrow path.
Well, me too.
I mean, that ain't no joke.
You don't have time to do anything else.
Exactly. I was
can't afford it either.
Can't afford it. You ain't got time.
I was so consumed in it and wanting to achieve the things that I wanted to achieve in the woods that it took my mind off of doing anything social that could have gotten me in trouble.
Yeah. Well, when you're in high school and if you're a hunter in high school, you play football on Friday night and you come Saturday and Sunday, you're in the woods hunting. You ain't got time to be out and partying. You ain't too wore out, you know.
But, you know, everybody comes up hunting for different reasons. And I know one thing, we all have to stick together. The hunting bash, hunters bashing hunters, that stuff's got to talk. You know, we're sitting here talking about us, our goals we set for ourselves. But I know every one of you guys would support anyone for whatever they've done.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It's Spike. Yeah. And I know you said that before,
John. Hey, you kill Spike tomorrow, call me. I'll come have you drag.
You know what? I thought about shooting Spike this year. Just ridiculous.
I mean, really. I'll be happy to come help you drag it out of the woods.
And you celebrate.
I mean, that's right.
I would with anybody. I mean, and, you know, Nick McWhorter was talking about the hunters evolve, you know, and stuff like that. Change. And, you know, Nick's starting to talk about maybe looking at killing a little bit bigger buck. He was talking there the other day. And, you just change as you just grow as you
go. I was spoiled. I mean, I you know, I'll tell you the truth. My fourth deer ever was 152 1/8 inch
tenpole. That set the bar for you.
And
you were helping.
You know, I killed a couple small bucks after that. I was young. You know, I was only 15 years old when I killed a deer. And I killed a couple small ones after that. But then you go home every day and you look on your wall and that thing's by itself. Anything. Man, I need something else up there. You know, so. It you know, I would say by the time I was 18 years old that, you know, I set my standard where I wanted it, and it's the same today.
Same age. I'd killed a 7-point and a 4-point when I was in high school. The year I graduated high school, I could start hunting a lot more and actually, you know, getting out doing my own stuff. And I killed 156-inch 12-point that year. And I was 18 years old that year, and that's pretty much where the bar's been set. So, I mean, I've killed a few deer under that since then. I've killed several deer under that. But I'm saying I pretty much make my mark at 125, 5 and younger better. That's just where I like to be. And I mean, public land, that's not real easy to do. So.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's been years I ate my tag last year. Yeah. You know, I
had passed more up tag soup, buddy, and I got mounts on the wall. Yeah.
I passed up a buck last year. I probably should. He's close, probably 130, but I was hunting buckets 180. You know, and ended up getting killed 2 or 3 days later, and then here I am. You know.
We all have different goals, you know.
That's the thing right there. I mean, when you're chasing a big deer like that. That's just the other side of it that you got to go through as a hunter. You got to pass those deer to kill that one.
No.
Yeah.
And like you were, or like I was talking about with me and how I set my goals from, early on in my hunting. You know, you see on Facebook, social media, so many teenagers that are, you know what I mean? That you look at a 13, 14 year old and they're like, they want to kill it 150 inch, or they want to kill it 140 inch. I mean, yeah, I hate to sound contradicting or like a hypocrite for like what
you're
I did.
Have fun like Nick said.
But yeah, realistically, I wish I would have done that starting out, just gone out there and just kind of enjoyed it more for that purpose of it.
And you know what? I was where you was talking about at a time, but then I kind of flip-flopped back. Hey, it's a little different for me. Like, say here in Kentucky, you know, we get these pictures all summer long, so I kind of know what I have.
Yeah.
You know, some years I might have 160-inch, 170-inch buck to chase, or like this year, you know, you knew what I had around the 150 area, and that's what I had, and I was tickled to death to get one of the bucks I was after. There was one big buck, but I'm done with that guy. I'm just done with him.
I think you set that bar on how invested and how just engulfed you are with me. I mean, from the get-go, when I knew I wanted to do it, I mean, everything went into hunting at that point. Whether I had to buy so many trail cameras and stands and this and that. I mean,
if you're gonna hunt big deer, it's a full-time job year-round.
Oh, yeah, it's year-round.
Year-round. People don't realize it. And before you get married, before you ever find whoever it is, you let them know. I mean, you really got to tell them, hey, listen.
It's a serious conversation.
With my wife, I mean,
that's why I'm not married right now.
I had a serious
that's
girlfriend.
That's not the reason,
buddy. I had a serious girlfriend before my wife, and that was, I mean, that was the reason we split up, was because she didn't understand how much I wanted to hunt and how much I love hunting. And before me and my wife, when we first got together 10 years ago, I told her, I said, listen, I like to hunt. She said, oh yeah, it's okay. You know, it's
how much?
I'm like, no, listen. I'm like, this is serious. Like, I'm in the woods. If it's November, late October, I'm in the woods every day.
Yeah.
And it's year round. It's not just something I do every now and then. I don't go hunting with the family, you know, during gun season. This is my life. Like, I hunt.
Yeah. Pay attention, Kara. Pay attention.
You know, I think that's the thing, though. I mean, heck, we're talking about this topic, but I think it's finding that person, too, that understands what it means to you.
It is. I mean, I've been home for my wife's birthday.
It's non-negotiable, ain't it?
Yeah.
This ain't a love story, though.
But,
back to deer.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. This is important.
If you want to hunt big deer, you got to realize there's some roadblocks in the way if you want to live a normal life.
Wife and I started going out, I told her, you know, I'm a hunter. I like to hunt. And, oh, yeah, I went out with some hunters before. They watched this show, and I was like, you don't understand. I don't watch those shows.
Yeah.
I go out there and do what – and, you know, I told her, you know, you're looking about 3 months a year. Because I don't calculate the summer because, you know, one day a month, go out and do your flu shots or whatever. And you ask her a day. She'll probably listen to this. She'll start laughing because it's 12 months.
Oh, it
from
is
the time 12 months. From the time I put an arrow in one to the next year, it's right there somewhere in my mind.
If we tag out in November in Ohio, you know, I'll be December.
I'll be trying to go again. I'm going to be trying to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, if I was to tag out early, I would try to go
to Indiana.
Probably,
I mean, heck, I've been – be honest with you, I mean, I killed third day here in Kentucky, and I've been freaking bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I love killing deer.
Wish I had that problem. Oh, you guys got that problem. I don't have that problem.
I barely got mine.
What'd you say then, Nick? You hadn't spent a birthday with your wife?
Yeah, no, I maybe only spent maybe two birthdays with her ever, because I've been out elk hunting or something. Her birthday's in middle of September, and I'm sorry.
Mine's
September. Can't help you, born in September. You know?
My wife's birthday's September 9th.
Yeah, man.
Dude, that's the heart, right? That's the first 2 weeks I got to be in the woods supporting
him. That's what Cody DeCristo said. He's been with his wife for like the last 15 years or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he made the comment on a podcast. He was like, yeah, I haven't spent a birthday with her since I've known her. Yeah. And the guy was like, are you serious? Like, most women would be offended by that. And he was like, she's just known from the get-go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love my wife, and I that's what I told Kyle. You know, he was like, oh, high season opens first. I was like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till at least around the 20th. First off, I'm going to hunt public land over there, so I'm going to have to wait for him to drop some sign and get in there and look around. I'm going to spend some time home with my wife and kids. And
hit it hard and sweet.
Then worry about trying to get in there and kill one, you know, once it warms up. So
I would say this might be the number one thing to ruin a hunt.
That's right.
Absolutely.
It'll either ruin a hunt or ruin a life.
I've seen it ruin somebody's hunt one time. I ain't going to say no names.
Oh, yeah.
Prime time.
Is that right?
Point me. We were set.
I was Miami. Set, dude, and then I packed up and moved to Florida.
That's right. I'm retired.
All I could say was
Robbie nothing. Was like, "What in the hell are you doing?"
We see who's back.
Well, you got to learn from your mistakes. Hey, what we said earlier. Yeah.
that was like a huge thing. Was I was like, "Hey,
you think she's gonna listen to it?"
I don't know. I kind of. She knows the reasons I'm not in Florida anymore.
How long have we been going on this?
But no, like,
almost an hour.
I think we ought to do a part two and just keep right on going.
I'll never forget this. I came home because I hadn't been home from Florida in like a while. And it was the last week of Ohio season and I found 7 sheds in this field and one of them was a target buck I was hunting. So my hunt was over there because I found a shed. And, I was just like.
You weren't hunting. You're a Florida buddy.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. So I come home thinking I'm gonna maybe have a crack at him this last week. And then I find his antlers, so I don't even get to try to kill him. And then I was just like, golly, you know, this deer's on my mind now, and I gotta be ready for next year. And if I'm not here doing this, and I came back to Florida, and I was just like, hey, I can't be living in Florida no more.
It cost me a relationship once.
I think any hardcore hunter is.
I was out.
It's easier not to be in a relationship to it.
I'd been out or something the night before, and Dad had already filled his Kentucky tag. It was gun season. You know, I gun hunted when I was younger, but I drove up to the farm and I killed that day that morning, and I killed in a nasty thicket, buddy, and it took me hours to drag a deer out. And well, I really had no sleep. So when I got home, buddy, I bedded down and I didn't wake up till the next day. And, she thought I'd been out cheating on her. I was like, well, whatever. See ya. Adios.
They can understand some of them.
You know, well, my wife's really good, but she knows. She gets kind of aggravated at times, but once it starts to come together and I killed her, she's excited for me as anybody.
She was right there walking the blood trail with us.
Yeah, right? she had to come look for it. Last year, when I killed that big one, which she lived that big one with me, she saw every trail camera picture I ever seen. She actually saw the deer, with her own eyes before I ever did. And, when she knew I put arrow in that one, buddy, it was on. She was tickled to death. I mean, she gets excited for me, but she does get aggravated.
That's number one. That's a head of pooping.
Yeah.
That's a head of having to take a crap in the
fish. Yeah. Yeah. While we're on this topic,
I didn't even think about that, but man, I'm glad we talked about that because that is that's the number one killer.
While we're on this topic, not pooping, but do you pee out your tree stand or anything?
Oh, yeah, I pee in scrapes.
Let her fly, buddy, out of the tree stand, son.
Rex Homer Jr. was on there. I talked to him yesterday, and he was talking about that. He's all in a sense and stuff like that. But,
I do that.
I've got trail cam pictures of me being
there. I don't want to see that stuff.
But being straight.
Yeah.
And then a couple hours later, 140, 50 inch buck coming in, working it.
Yeah.
Come back later on, working it again.
That's
come back.
John didn't kill that 150 the first night. He was pissing out of the tree and walked up on
they can't,
it.
You can't tell me that every animal in the woods, they can distinguish exactly what
they say. Urine, the only thing's different is the pheromones, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
if you're on a lot of medications and stuff, that maybe, you know.
Depending on what you intake in your body. You know, I mean, if you're a huge pop drinker, you don't drink ever drinking. If you drink very much water, I don't see that it would ever hurt you.
I've been doing it for probably 10 years.
But now. I just let her fly out of tree stand. Oh, it sounds like rain, son. Squirrels ain't happy, but oh well.
I've learned over the years a little bit. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, yeah. I used to hold her pee in a Gatorade bottle. Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, Kyle, he was surprised by me this year. He texted me or something. And I was like, man. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, I just fanned up there, fly.
What was there? Dough underneath you? You're like, there's a dough underneath me. I'm pissing out the tree. Yeah.
You know, what about, you're talking about piss and all that stuff, which I might piss somebody off right here. But,
Rob, you know, poop in the scrapes?
No, I don't poop in the scrapes. Just corn piles. How about the drag rag again? Now listen.
I heard it works, but I don't know.
This is my thing, though. I mean, there's 100 damn deers running through there, pissing all over the place. What's special about a little bit of deer piss on it?
Not a thing.
I was afraid to say that.
Not a thing.
I don't want to piss nobody off. And for any of you all that use it, you know, have fun with it.
I'd love for you to bring my brother in here and talk to him about all the different kind of scents he's bought over the year. And he's bought the stuff that they literally extract straight out of the dough, and it's to his door the next day by the time it comes out of the dough. It's still warm from the dough that pissed it the night before.
But here's the
thing. I'm telling you, it doesn't freaking, none of it works.
What's special about that deer piss than any of the other deers that walk through there?
Nothing.
Okay, if you're in a rut,
I thought you was talking about, the thing I dragged, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I did hear I've that. I've heard works. That works, legit.
Because
I've heard of putting a used tampon out there on the
I wasn't going that deep, buddy.
Hey, now we know where your relationship is.
Yeah, I was just like,
he thinks, man, this guy's weird.
Yeah, I just told her, I was like, hey, I need you to put your used tampons in a plastic bag and put them in the freezer.
No. So he wants to kill Big Buck Bear.
No, like John said.
Oh, that's horrible.
Like, legit, there's stuff online that people swear up and down by it.
Yeah.
Just the pheromones of the...
I don't read those forms.
Yeah.
Well, but I have, that's what I was telling you. Talk, I know you've seen those.
I had heard that a female on her period is the same as the doe and estrus.
We're an hour yet looking into this.
Yeah, we're packing. We're on 26 seconds passing. Okay, if there's a woman on her period or whatever, and there's a horse around, I've heard that's not a good thing.
That's a bad day for her.
Well, have you seen the video of that little buck that chases that woman through the creek and into her car and everything?
I've seen the one where they were driving the Elvis. On her top of the month. That didn't turn out good.
So horrible.
No. It was pound ground. I don't know if that's what I was doing, so maybe there's something to it. I don't know.
But
I don't want to think. It turns me off.
Yeah, me too, man. That's me too.
No, for real, though. I think somebody here, rock, paper, scissors, draw toothpicks or something.
Oh, that'll work.
And somebody tried this year and see if it works.
No.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kyle. Go ahead,
I'm not trying it.
It's all on you, pal.
Hey.
But you know while you're on study.
If I do it and kill 180 inches, then all y'all are going to be grabbing tampons.
While you're on studies, you believe in the moon phase, right?
Yeah.
I seen a brand new study out that the moon phase does not affect deer movement.
It affects everything.
It was like a six-year study.
Six-year study on 30 GPS does, and it stays the same all the time.
Yeah,
was in Pennsylvania.
That's a whole different podcast for me. If we start talking about the moon, we might as well start another one.
Oh, we can't get on the moon.
But I mean, you know, you're talking about. Only thing I know is just get out there and have fun, try.
Well, one thing.
I mean, if you want to take your girlfriend out and tell her not to use protection, have at it, brother.
There's certain things that.
Sorry.
That
we are giving away a moon god here.
There's certain things that I believe can trump the moon. That I think that the moon god specifically, let's say the moon god, is in correlation to feeding patterns. Aside from feeding patterns.
The moon affects people. I mean, ask people from the hospital.
That's exactly right.
Or your first responders.
I mean, yeah. It's
They'll all tell you. If it's a
gravitational pull that affects the whole world.
Anyone that... you know, cops, if you have a friend that's a cop, they'll tell you, or they've told me before.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I work corrections, so.
Affects you?
Yeah,
I mean, if it affects humans, it definitely affects the deer somehow.
Nick don't believe that.
What's happening in the moon?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you can tell when they're moving because of the moon, but I do think.
I think we're giving away a moon guy. I think it's the greatest thing ever. in all honesty, I mean.
No, I think I need to win that thing.
In all honesty, everybody says, Nick's against the moon, Nick's against the moon.
No.
I'm not against the moon. I'm pro hunting. Yeah. I'm not going to look at a moon guide and say peak movement ain't until after dark tonight.
If you can hunt, you're going to hunt.
See, that's exactly
right. If I can go hunt, I'm going to go hunt. I'm not going to wait on a deer and be like, I'm waiting for this red moon to go in and kill him. I think
there now. I think if somebody who doesn't have time is planning an out of state trip, why not put your best where your best red moons are at?
I mean, I totally agree with you, Nick. That's the way I am. I look at, and I don't use the moon guide, which I use the solar forecast.
Yeah.
I told you before, Lance Caesar's the one turned me on it, and he's a big musky fisherman. We would be out fishing, and he didn't say, oh, we're not going fishing because of blah, blah. He'd look at it and say, you know, hey, we know that the moon is certain phase at noon to one, so we're staying till at least one. Mm-hmm. And that's I hunt. You know, I hunt, and then I look at the moon. I say, well, you know, the moon's going to be overhead from noon to one, so I'm at least going to set to 1 o'clock. You know,
I mean, that's how I do it. I never pay much attention to the red moon or whatever, but I've always scheduled my vacation in November around the full moon, 3 days before, yeah. 3 days after. I like 3 days before. I mean, for years, ever since I could use cameras, I just started paying attention to that.
Well, you
I mean,
found your sweet spot.
That's where I found my sweet time, you know.
See, an elk hunter will call it the equinox.
But
that's what most elk hunters do. You look at the moon guy, and they're going to try to schedule a vacation around those same
equinox.
Yeah, exactly.
That's but the biggest buck I ever seen down there was
on
a full moon.
Yeah, I killed my big buck on a full moon.
Yeah. When they say you never see one,
I'll say that. That's my only thing that is contradicting to believing in the moon is I've seen some good deer.
The thing, if you got a hot doe, you got a hot doe. They don't care about the moon.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I mean,
now,
it's just.
Now here's the thing, I'll say this much. In November, yeah, toss the moon, in a sense, but
why would you toss the moon guy? I mean, why would you toss any of your moon phases away in the rut? Because then you just base your moon phase on your doe moon.
Well, I will tell you, three days before the full moon, I see way more movement. A lot of movement. That's just my experiences. But I did see the biggest, like you said, a hot doe on the full moon.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. That doe is the only concern at that point. Mm-hmm. Not feeding, not doing anything like that.
I mean, it's a tool.
Getting that tail.
It's a tool just like, to me, it's a tool like a grunt call or rattling or anything else.
Yeah.
It might work, it might not.
And that's what Charles said, yeah. You know, it's just.
I mean, heck, I'll put weather over that.
They've debated
front over everything.
High pressure, being high pressure days.
Yeah.
I mean, if I look at the pressure as much as I do anything else.
Yeah.
And, well, get that out of my
face. Every time. And a horse and a woman on her.
No.
Hard times.
No, it's an Ohio State slam against
Urban Meyer. It was a gig in the ribs already.
Did they lose?
No, that ain't gonna happen.
I can't find it. I thought I shared it, but yeah, I mean, they studied 30 does and on public land at 30 GPS does. I think it was 30 over like a 6 year period, and he graphed it out, and it's
like Nick said, it's a tool, like a
it's
grunt
just a
call
tool,
or
a piece of the puzzle.
I mean, heck, you have certain things that work for you that haven't worked for me. Same goes for anybody.
Well, oh, yeah.
Have you all seen the tree thrasher?
Yeah.
What the heck? Is that?
Have you seen the tree thrasher?
No. Is that the thing that scratches the tree pieces?
Scratches the tree, and then it sounds like deer making a scrape, and then.
Who the hell's got time to do all that?
Stick break.
Have you seen it?
I want to be a pro staff tree scratcher or whatever it's called.
Thrasher.
Is Todd Pringle, you know who Todd Pringle is?
Top Ring, I've heard the name.
Okay. He's the guy you said that he went nuts when he killed that deer the other day on the video you seen.
Sweet.
He came out with, he created a lone wolf tree, the sticks, the wicked tree saws. Mm-hmm. He's created a lot of stuff.
He created lone wolf sticks?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that.
Yep. And then, so that's how he got his money.
So yeah,
I thought it was money. Wicked. I didn't realize that.
Cause I don't necessarily know that he, you know, his loaded or anything, but yeah, he was one of the designers.
He's got an Iowa farm, so he's.
Well, I mean, he hung out, he was always buddies with Andre and you know, all those guys. That was who he cut his teeth hunting with. So,
we cut him a good person.
Oh, Andre, Info, all those guys. That's who
I mean, there's not
even know who all these people are.
I don't know.
They're the guys we were talking about earlier that need to be a big name.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they kill giant bucks every single year.
I mean, legit, you can't find probably any better guys to learn from.
Yeah.
As far, you know what's funny though, like I was talking about that podcast earlier, Andre's son, Cody, he said his dad didn't teach him hardly anything.
Yeah, I loved what he said about it.
Dude, he was just like, man, my dad wasn't that kind of guy.
His exact quote was, he asked him, did your dad teach, cause his dad kills giant, I mean, 170 deer yearly. I mean, that's what his dad kills. Yeah. 200, all the way up to 200. He said, did your dad teach you anything? You know, he said, my dad never said, hey, look down here, here's a buck track. He said, the thing my dad taught me was, he said, just keep the F up.
Yeah, he said,
that's exactly what he said. And if you ever watch one of Andre De La Cuesta's videos, you'd see his dad is straight. His dad was creator of Lone Wolf Tree Stands. That's he owned it, and now they own XOP. But, I mean, you can tell he's an intense guy.
Yeah, the biggest key to killing monster bucks, I don't know, piss nobody off. The truth is just having access to hunt the land.
Property.
But, how many Boone Crockett bucks have you got a picture of?
Picture of?
Just a picture.
Probably three. Maybe three.
How many you call? Boone and Crockett, 170 plus.
Maybe one.
Now, and these guys work to get on property where there's monster bucks. We know where most of the monster bucks comes from around here. And it's the same area.
Yeah.
So the biggest key, I'm just saying, Nick, or Kyle or John, if you guys have access to that property to hunt, you're probably going to kill those same bucks those guys are killing. No. So,
you know just, where big deer are.
Just watching, just because someone's killing 200-inch bucks don't mean they're a better hunter than anybody else. Yeah, but like they worked hard and managed their land and done things right so they can kill these big bucks. I'm not saying that, but I'm not saying they're not doing anything special that Nick Basil's doing or Kyle's doing or John's doing. They just... You know, I can kill a 170-inch buck if he's not on the property. I can hunt.
The first thing you got to do is get off the cow. You can take...
And them guys work to find those spots. I'm not taking nothing away from them.
I'm not saying names, but Nick has dealt with the same person. I've got multiple text messages. Please take me out to kill a big deer. Please take me out. I'm like, God, you don't understand how many hours I put into that deer. Yeah. I can't just go out there and say, okay, we're going to do this this evening. If I could do that, but I mean, I probably wouldn't even do this.
I'll teach you how to do it. Yeah. And then you can do it. Yeah. But you know, just,
I mean, and, but that's the difference in a big buck killer and somebody who doesn't is I bet I spend 5 times as many hours sitting in a tree stand as the next man. I don't hunt 3 days and go, I didn't kill a big one this year. There must not be any out there.
Yeah, you gotta work for it.
I think another thing too, honestly, like talking about those guys and some of their stuff is like thinking outside the box. I think a lot of people are scared to do things. And like Cody was talking about, and Nick heard it. Like you screw it up. You know what I mean? But
push the limits.
You push the limits, and you try to get it done.
But you're not gonna kill big deer doing what everybody else does.
That's exactly.
And there's
right.
a time to hold back. And there's time to be aggressive. You just gotta experience will teach you that.
And you know, it's just like hunting the wind. You know, we preach hunting the wind, but you know, sometimes you've got to put the wind in that deer's advantage too, because
about all the time.
He's not coming to you because the wind's blowing to you. I mean, he knows how to survive.
You know, early season, I'll be patient during the pre-rut and rut. To be honest with you, if I find a hot spot, I always play the wind, but I'm definitely more aggressive as far as getting in there and doing things a little different. That's me anyways. But
I think if you can figure out where they're bedding, just in general, I think you got a pretty good shot at killing them.
A deer lives and dies by its nose, I think.
That's just one defense.
I told you guys.
That'll ruin a hunt right there, deer's nose, guaranteed.
And
access.
I told you guys about it, but I've got a couple bucks on camera in Kentucky a couple weeks before season come in, then it disappeared. And I said, well, I'm going to move over towards where I think the bedding area, you know, thicker area is. Well, I moved to a spot where I thought, you know, I mean, I dumped corn out. That's why you hunt Kentucky deer early in the year.
Yeah.
So I dumped it out in where I thought there's no way I'm going to hunt them on this certain wind, and there's no way they can get around me to get my wind. I mean, that's the reason I put it where it's at. My first sit in there, every deer come where they could circle downwind of me.
Sure.
And I mean, and it didn't take them long to figure out, you know, they found a way to try to get around me, you know.
Yeah.
So it don't take them long to, I mean, I hang most of my stands in a manner where I think I can get the shot off before the deer gets my wind, because most of my stands are hung to where the wind's in the deer's favor.
Well, they're not going to come in a lot of times.
That's right. A big mature buck is not going to play. He's going to play the wind in his favor,
every
not your favor.
Time. I mean, unless it's rut or something. He's on a hot doe, and then they're about like us. That crazy.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, we about get off this thing, or we'll be on here all night.
We'll probably sit in here and talk for another hour.
Yeah, that's what I say. Just hit part two. Let's roll again.
It's a pain in the butt on this thing for some reason. I can't believe the mic ain't blew up yet.
And yeah. I'm here.
Hey, how are you doing? Must be Nick. Hey, well, you know, we got a pre-rut and rut coming up, folks. So, we're going to have a whole lot of guests coming on talking about the pre-rut and rut. We'll have these three guys come back on, talk about the pre-rut and rut. We're just going to pound that, you know. Brandon Phipps, Ethan.
McAllister
from Alpha Strong, he's gonna come on, and
trying to get Andrew Garber and Kent Robinson on too,
and just hear everyone's views about pre-rut and rut and some of their tips and tricks, and maybe it'll help you all out. That's what it's all about, man. We want to be informational, and you have any questions? See, if you're doing a podcast, you want to turn your damn
Sound off
your computer. See, I almost made this all the way through here about screwing it up. Yeah. We're not professionals.
The only question I have is, did we make it to top 10 last? I think we only made about six.
Yeah. I don't know that we made 10 though, did we?
I think we just kept circling around. Yeah. We
have to take a dump.
Yeah. Trespassers.
Forgetting your brothers. Amish.
Wife.
Yeah. Packing in a tampon.
Boots.
We covered all the
boots.
Losing your boots.
Yeah. Your bolt.
Yeah, your bolt. No gun.
Covered, I think, all the serious ones.
Alarm clock going enough. Off.
We can't count anyway. We're Eastern Kentucky, Southern Ohio.
Alarm clock.
Residents.
Yeah, Kyle's not a morning guy.
I gotta make myself.
You know, it almost cost me that deer 2 years ago, the alarm clock. It really did. I rolled over and I had to go in at 4 o'clock in the morning because he was there at daylight and I hit the button and I was like, I ain't getting up. No way. And it went off again. I was like, nope. Finally, I woke up and I was like, I don't want to work. I got to go.
Yeah.
I killed him that morning.
All kind of things. Flash flood will stop you too. I forgot about that. And I looked at that too, you know, and that water was moving. They say, don't go through it moving. I was like, I think I can just get right across there.
My God, I had to float a four-wheeler across the river last year on a John boat because I got flooded out in Indiana.
A mud hole ruined a...
Oh, yeah, a mud hole ruined my Rob's scouting mission.
We did see
a booner. We ended up seeing a booner that day.
We seen a booner that day, though, but we didn't have our bow.
I was
up to
my neck in mud.
That was over on your
Yeah,
anyway.
No matter what runs it was, just enjoy it.
Just have a good time.
Get out there and have fun.
Hey, y'all keep up with us now. We're going to be talking about the pre-rut and rut and all that good stuff. You know, it's that time, man. Special time of the year. I mean, early season's fun. It is. But it almost seems like I don't know. It's just totally different. You know,
it's a different ball game.
It's almost like fishing in the ocean when it's rut. You just don't know what's coming. You know what I mean? It could be anything. When we're hunting early season, we know what we're hunting pretty much. You know, we got a hit list, but there ain't a rut. You just don't really
hang on tight.
Just hang on, really, seriously.
Yeah.
It's exciting for me. I mean, every time you hear something coming, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, don't kill a doe when she walks by you.
Yeah, let the doe go. So anyways, hey, we'll see y'all later. Kyle Groves, John Workman, Nick Basil, Strom Rashawn, Hunting Out Loud. Y'all keep it real. And make sure you take a big crap before you get to the
tree stand.
Yes, sir.